few years ago, Yerushalayim, with Yom Yun in memory of God, my father used to speak of his name, he would always last. He would always speak clean up. But since he never finished in time, they asked me to speak last at a particular occasion. At which point I came and said, I begin by prefacing my remarks that I really felt that nothing much to add. I felt like a master that, as my brother mentioned before this morning, I felt like a master who was not adding anything previously. Since my father came here at the end of the day and said, he viewed everything I said except that it was a master. So that, you can argue about what it was then, but today I certainly feel like a master, and I certainly feel like after the whole morning, and especially the last hour and a half, that since it's a master, but I will try to be a master of the kind of a Mishul have in mind when I speak now. The topic I chose, unlike the previous topics, is not to take one concept and analyze it extensively, so rather to try to build the topic by collecting, gathering together various halachot, instead of trying to make a mosaic out of many small halachic details, hoping to present somewhat of a larger picture. Therefore, I will be coming much familiar with ground. Certainly people familiar with sugyot will find themselves feeling at every turn, twist and turn, and just repeating things that are well known to them. I'm trying to see the places in a certain context, and hopefully by adding all together the collective, the assembled evidence, will nevertheless try to illustrate the point that I'm trying to make. We all know that Tzelem Elokim, divine form, divine image, is a major concept in Yahadus' concept of man. The mission of the Sefer Avos, Chaviv Adam Shavah B'Tzelem, Chiba Yitzhak Adam Shavah B'Tzelem, man's special chiba, affection for man, divine affection for man because he's created God's image, Chiba Yitzhak, special unique affection man has because of his image, and we all know also that the Torah treats man uniquely. However, more so, the Torah sees man as a major part of its message. And as I said in the famous statement of the Medrash, Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam, this is the book of man, Zeh Tzal Gadol Torah, this is a cardinal rule of Torah, that the Torah is the book of man. And therefore, I think for a moment, and some expression that the Torah gives to man's greatness. But to put it differently, I could easily quote many sources from the world of Machshava to illustrate the unique position that man occupies within Yahadus. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Naftali Gimel, Dolim Tzali Kinyo, Tekal Chasharet, Tzadikim, the ultimate achievement of human beings are greater than the angels. We could talk about the fact that each man is a world unto himself. However, I'd like this afternoon is not to quote passages from Agadita, nor from various Jewish philosophers of the ages, but rather to discuss a lot of manifestations of the concept of Tzelem Elokim. And I will begin with this. Tosfos in Bamatzia, the Rambam of the day, asked the following question. The word states over there that the person has to return Aveda. You found the lost item, and you must return it, as the Midrash of the Vedic tells you. However, a person is exempt, is a patur, if the Zakeh and Yerfi Chvoda, if you return the object will cause a certain loss of dignity to the person returning it, it's an undignified object, you find an intimate item or whatnot, or something which is degrading to walk around the street with. So there's a patur of Hashem Saveh. And this is learned out from a particular phrase in the Torah which deals with Hashem Saveh. V'italamka perish tamitalev. You lie, I can't look the other way. Tosfos there questioned why do we have to have a special exemption for Hashem Saveh in undignified cases. We have a more broad general rule which is the focus of a long stream of separate drugs of the test of Chah, of Kvod HaBrios, Doch HaLosasa Shem HaTorah. In other words, human dignity is able to void Brios HaLachot in order to preserve human dignity. And I read the Tosfos. Bintoma, Kesu Vigilachosto, Kikvod Habir, excuse me, next to the phrase here, Bintoma, Kesu Vigilachosto, Kikvod Habir, Dok, Vigilas Gnoshas, Tisra, Yishloma, Kikvod Habir, Vigilas Mitzah, Chamech Tei, Shemuta Vigizem Hele Sviyach, O Yehua Klavi, אף על גב, בפרק מי שמסו, מוכח, יד התשובה, יש לו פס, הימית, בקוד הבריאות, חיים משום דאורם וגנוס וגזר גדול, כי דאומר, כמו נבוא, מוס, אין לך משוקת, יוס מאוד של הלך עולה. It's a capitalized, and it taught us the following. The Gemara tells us, other places, that certain halachol can void up with the Kvod HaBriyah, so we get to be void on Halachot. And for the example Tosfos gives is either a Mesh Mitzvah, in other words, a corpse that no one is available to bury it, or a person is wearing a garment with shatnez in it, we don't tell him under certain circumstances to remove the garment, he is allowed to proceed and remain clothed rather than removing the garment. Here, regarding Hashem HaSaveda, the Gemara requires a special limitation on the extent of the mitzvah shas aveda. In other words, why is a specific rule when you have a general rule? And the answer comes to give as follows. There are two levels of dignity. One is, now tell us who to quantify it. They talk about bizayon, gnut bizayon gadol. In other words, it is quantitatively greater bizayon, greater gnut. What makes it, I suppose, to taking an object, nothing by an object in eternity. However, it seems to me as follows. We try to establish two different kinds of dignity. There's one form of dignity which is man as man. In other words, every person as a human being. Represents the human race, the fellow human individual. That's one form of dignity. There's another form is my private cover, that's Moshe, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Rachel, Sarah, Tom, Dick, and Harry. In other words, when a person carries an object which he doesn't like to see with, that's not the cover of Nian Kwa Nian. That's the cover of Reuven, Shimon, Sarah, Leah, etc. That we would not nullify mitzvahs because of that, if not for the fact that Shabbat HaSaveda is limited in itself. However, when is the actual dignity of the human being, when the divine image, the feminine key within every human being, there's a much more broad universal rule, unlimited to Shabbat HaSaveda, and he made it the Gemara of Mitzvah, and the Gemara Brachos is talking about different issues. The Gemara Brachos is talking about when the person invests himself with Tzemelkim, the dignity of clothing, without which he is defiling the actual Tzemelkim within him. The Gemara Mitzvah talks about your private dignity, your private cover, and took two totally different issues. In other words, it's not a quantitative difference only, it's a qualitative difference. Having said this, I'd like to move on to further instances in which we can see seminal king manifest itself as the halacha regarding how to treat human beings. I'll start with more obvious cases and then move on to maybe those which are more surprising. Said if you want the actual line which Rashi says most clearly for the conclusion. Let's start with Avelus. Avelus, we mourn the loss of meaning. Rashi says that's not a stupid, but for hey, this Avelus is not to be upset, it's not star meso, it's not a cover to the mess. However, Rashi seems to indicate, and that's why we normally understand it, that Avelus is the cover to the individual mess. The particular human being who is nifta, we have to pay our respects to him, we have to give him the due respect, based upon how he lived his life, based upon his achievements, based upon his personality, and so on and so forth. If Rabban Torah Adam seems to adopt a position that Rashi explicitly rejects, that Avelus is a function of tzar and not of kavod, that Avelus is anima shebalev, and therefore cases in which a person is not actually feeling broken, for instance, in the following, Mishael Yibosh of Adam of Dova, the following man says, first, isn't all that upset about a case of an abortion as he is in the case of an Asura Bindu dies, or a Sankaryaman talks about, the Ramban phrases everything in the context of Sama. So Rashi talks about respect for the actual individual, Ramban talks more about sorrow. In both cases, though, the focus is upon the individual, the actual person who departed, the individual mez, who departed from us. And therefore, to the extent that it is the source of this Doraisa, if we are in the position that indeed is a mitzvah Doraisa, the source is learned out from aninos, from individual sorrow, and as the Ramban discusses the phrase aninos, and the Mishnah tells him a sense of heavy, aninos applies to Misha Balei, the sorrow that first experiences when he loses a beloved one. However, the Ramban adopts a wholly different approach to Avelus. The source that Ramban gives for Avelus Doraisa is not aninos, it's rather the fact that Kohen has to metame to a mez. When the person dies, and the Kohen's relative of his, there's a mitzvah to be metame, to defile the kahuna, to actually go and force the Kohen to become tame to his relative, not to allow to remain above the death event, but rather to force the Kohen and to confront death. The Rambam to this, extrapolate the idea of Avelus, not to Kohanim, but to everybody else as well. The Rambam also states that the idea of Avelus is connected to the idea of Tumah. In other words, a Kohen has to go touch the mess, first exactly the mess, because of the Chalos Kedusha, the defiled the Kedusha within him, that is part of the Avelus. However, the person is not a Kohen, he is Yisrael, she is a woman, and there's no Yisrael of Tumah for a Kohen, so then there's no mitzvah to Metame. In other words, the Tumah is not a function of expression of sorrow, has to defend the mitzvah to defile the actual Kedusha. First of all, why has this written to Avelus? Seems to me that by this source, the Rambam is not emphasizing my individual connection to the mess. Because if so, we shouldn't see a special connection, a unique concept of Avelus by Kohen. Rather, the Rambam is expressing the fact that Avelus is, we are mourning not only the loss of Reuben, of Leah, of Shimon, of Sarah, etc., the loss of man as man. In the same way, the Habib and the Shem prophets, we celebrate not only the visual chasna, but also the creative capacity of man at large, so too, death is the defeat of man, death is the defeat of all humankind, of being human, the defeat is death, and therefore our veins relate not only to the individual, it relates to the boost, the yukni, to the eternal human in the person, to the divine image, which has been defeated. And therefore, the Kohen, who has the highest kedusha of man, who is the climax of the eternal human being, the highest level of kedusha of human being, by defiling vicious kihuna, we are expressing the defeat of man, the defeat of the kedusha within man. Now, to move from the Rambam, we see a lot of expression of this. The Gemara talks about various halachos which are almost chayim. What is the fear from here? First of all, my first one, I covered that for Avil chai the piece of mita, and Avil has to overturn his bed. The Tani Bar Kapara, the source of the statement about Kapara the Raisa, Dumut, Yukli Ataki Bachem, I've given my divine former image within you, and Rashi says over here immediately, Bitzelem Elokim Asak Adam, Ubabil Terehem HaKachtia, Hashem Baruch had to overturn, defeat, his son Elokim the man, because of man's sin, with man's shortcomings, fully took the hand over. Overturned the bed, of course the bed being a symbol of creativity, is man a practice for the Shvaruch Hu's creative capacity, the Tzem Elokim, the creative ability within man, by creating future generations, and the Kfir Tamita, therefore is the defeat of man's ability to propagate himself, to be creative, death is the antithesis to birth, And a vase is here, we mourn not only Ruben's loss or Shimon's loss, we mourn the loss of the Drus Dukin. The Drus Dukin has talked about him. I've implanted within you my cell of Kima Sata Adam, and this has been defeated. The Rav gave us the opinion that the Minhag HaKavod Mirrors is really the same statement. In other words, Aveirus, we mourn the loss of human image, and therefore we conceal it. However, there are other halachot within Aveirus which also apply to this. A different moment I come to the Rambam. The Rambam, as Rabbi Chaim knows, the Rambam seems to differentiate between two categories of halachot of Aveirus. The Rambam begins the fifth chapter of Aveirus with the following statement. These are the things that Avel is prohibited from doing when he's in Avel. The first day for the Torah, the Shayim and Bibrayim. The other day, the Gavanan. And then the whole Shabbat is to be Suri. Also the Saker, the Chaber, the Zirchot, the Masuk. You can't come here, you can't wash the clothes, you can't bathe, and so on and so forth. Hakol Tetzam and Echad HaSadavah. 11 various practices which are not prohibited from practicing. However, the Rambam omits a few, which he mentions at the end, including halacha of the previous chapter, then paradalot. This paradalot protests. Ha'avel v'yomishon v'uvad asur niach tefillin v'le'echol mishelo. The chayvulation, the chuya, and other the first day says to Rambam, can't pronounce tefillin, he can't eat his own food, he has to sit and overturn bed. Ubishar Yamin, however, this is permitted and the rest of the other 6 days we have various. And then the Rambam calls the source of service. Now, the Rambam clearly distinguishes between these halachot, which appear in Perek Dalet, and those in Perek Ed. Perek Ed gives the whole list. And he states conclusively, I call a chalas a dozen. Tefillin is missing. Fias Amita and the Hadra, that was not eating his own food, are correlated in different fashion. Rama clearly saw these halachot as being a separate group. And Reb Chaim was told by Reb Elba, and this was Rav as well. Reb Chaim explained Rama saw this as a kima veilus. This is the positive fulfillment of the mitzvah veilus. Unlike those in the Shlemachat, which are the negative prohibitions upon an avel. Now, avelus, some total, of course, is a set. Not a mitzvah, not a set, it's a set. However, it manifests itself from Reb Chaim in certain positive elements and negative. Now, I'm not sure if my formulation, just take a moment, corresponds to this, is an explanation, or is it an alternative. Either way, it seems to me that this division of Rambam fits with what we're talking about. Those halachot mentioned in Perek Dalet deal with the Drus Dukni, with the Tzev Elokim. Those in Perek Hei are individual laws. The Easter of Hirkat, of bathing, of Kashrus Shemita, of Sicha, and so on and so forth. These relate to the private individual laws. These express themselves in the others privately hugging, how the others support themselves as individuals. In Perek Dalet, Rambam is discussing the halachos which derive from the fact that the Tzev Elokim has been defeated. And maybe the tefillin, which of course is the closest connection to the air, the crown jewel of the human being. The crown which Baruch Hu gave him to express the connection to the man and to his Baruch Hu. Tefillin is the essence of our kedusha in the tefillin. Tefillin like a thief. Tefillin basically states Kodesh LaHashem. It's Mian, it's most Kadosh, Mian is most friendly to the Baruch Hu, when he's wearing his tefillin. It's hard to overstate the importance of the tefillin in the being, or tell yourself the tifarah, the tefillin. It was the majesty of Mian, the glory of Mian is his tefillin. He's not saying he's close to the Baruch Hu, most expressive of belonging to the Baruch Hu. The same way the glory of the Kohen, the Kavod of Tiferet is the tzitz. When he takes Kodesh Hashem, I belong to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and I am His, so too are the tefillin on each and every one of us. The same holds true for the halacha of the Holy Shalom, Havra. The reason a human being, an other, cannot eat his own food the first day of Vedas, simply perplexing halakha, because this is what differentiates man from the beast. Man has his own food, man provides himself, man prepares his food, while the animal eats very fine. The animal walks, wherever he roams the field, roams the jungle, he eats very fine. In Shemitah, the animals roam the field. Human beings, though, the natural course of things, prepare their own food. And the defeat of human dignity is partially expressed in the inability of a person to provide for himself. And therefore, he must eat food wherever he gets. Point number three is Kriyas Amrita, I mentioned that before. Let me now add a fourth point. The Ramban, in the Rambam, is these three. And as a moment ago, you see the Rambam is differentiating between Kriyas Amrita, Havra, who is not eating your own food, and Tefillin, which are part of the mourning, the loss of human dignity, the seven Elohim, or the other 11 mentioned later on, in the subsequent chapter, are those which relay to the private side. This would also explain to me why the Rambam thinks these three are only the first day. Had only Tefillin, we would have said it's a derisa, it's a Rabbanan, it's a question of authority. However, Havra, Kriyas Amrita, such explanation will not hold up. And when we look at a relevant Chibur of Islam, we see that he has a lot of trouble explaining why only the first day and not all 7 days. What he suggests at the end of the discussion is that indeed the first day is not crucial, has to be any time during the seven. And if the first doesn't mean the first day, it can be on the fourth, the fifth, etc. However, in light of what we stated a moment ago, it seems that the first day is indeed crucial. For a simple reason. Contact with death. The actual meeting with the moment of death is crucial. The defeat, as you see in a moment, as you see in a few minutes, is the actual point of death. And therefore, the Yom HaRishon, you are still in contact with death. And only in the Mikdash, for instance, is usher only the first day. Subsequently, you distance yourself from the event. The feeling, the emotion remains with you. So, available for 7 days. Though it may, feeling gets weaker, and therefore the rise is only 1 day. But the feeling can be extended to 7 days. The contact, the point of contact with the event, with the actual passing away, is only the first day. And therefore, those elements of values which deal only with the loss of the seminal key, and not with my inner feelings, my sense of sorrow, or my need to pay respect to the niftar, those can be had the first day, and therefore if you miss the first day, unlike the Rebbe's claim, since you indeed cannot make up for it later on. This is the Rambam. A similar idea can be found in Ramban, though the practical expression is somewhat different. The Ramban asks, why in Tisha B'Av there's no Kriyas Amrita? It's a machlokes to the Tanaim. We paskin though that there's no Kriyas Amrita in Tisha B'Av, only by love. The Ramban explains the two categories. If this is a Tisha B'Av, and there are mitzvahs lost after Shabbat. If my memory is not mislead me, I think the Rabbi already connected this Ramban to the Rabbi I read a moment ago. Anyway, the idea seems to be the same. Kriyas Amrita, I mean, I'm back to the two cases, Kriyas Amrita and the Tibas HaRosh. What's more, Kriyas Amrita, if my interpretation is correct, has nothing to do with Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av will be more the loss of the mikdash, not the loss of the seminal key. And of course, there's no connection between the loss of man's creative capacity and the loss of the mikdash. So Kriyas Amrita is nothing within the framework of Tisha B'Av. Therefore, Tanakhama, Chachamim say, Kriyas Amrita has nothing to do with Tisha B'Av. There's no point in knowing Kriyas Amrita and Tisha B'Av. Now, the Ramban makes the same point about Kibbutz HaRosh. Kibbutz HaRosh is once in a law which nowadays is not practiced, which an other has to cover his face. Or cover his head, cover a headdress. Once more, the same idea. The Rosh, more than anything else, is symbolic of dignity. And of course, Chaitanya Kabbalah made a lot of the Parsubas being, you know, all kinds of secrets and being divinely encoded, so to speak. Certainly, if you think about the feminine key more than anything else, it is the Rosh in which this is lodged. And therefore, Atibas HaRosh once more is not only the defeat of personality, but the defeat of humanity as such. And therefore, the Ezesh of Azel, the Ramban at least, he led it to Kriyat HaMita and Atibas HaRosh. Then it takes me on to another halacha, which remains the same sphere within the world of Avelus. We have Avelus, we have Kriya. The Gemara states Avelus Tuchu and Kriya Tuchu. Avelus is one concept, Kriya is the second concept. Now in Kriya we have a whole bunch of halachot which are associated with, say, Sibuk Shin. The Shin departing from us, from the world. We have halachot of Kriya. And a second Torah which is burned. If a person is a gadget, has a shalom, a person blasphemes, is a kriya. And you are reading down in Shalayim, and the last of the Mikdash. We also have kriya if a person is present, any human being is mitzvah. Not only is relative. If the person is omid ala meh, the shah, the tiyat, the shmasa, the person is present, the actual moment of ptira, he gives kriya. And this is not because it's relative, it is not Kriya an individual, it is Kriya and the Tzemel Elokim disappear. And Kriya and the Tzemel Elokim didn't have in common in the previous cases. All are cases in which Shechina resides in this world, be in the Mikdash, be in the Sefer Torah, be in the Shem Shamayim, be in the human being, and the same way Sefer Torah is burned, we see the Shechinas disappearing, leaving, ascending from our world to a better world in which it is not being injured, so too during death. Now let's elaborate for a moment on this point. Chazal treated clothing as the basic manifestation of human dignity. The difference between man and animal, mutar adam beima, is his clothing. Adam HaRishon was clothed by the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The very first, I'm talking now in the world after the head, in the world in which disharmony exists between nature and man, in the world in which original harmony has been violated. Clothing is what fits man's life in nature. The difference between the brute and the human being is his clothing. And the house of Russian man, how little he is, how nothing he is, so we throw him back into his natural state by removing his clothing. King Lear is a powerful specialist idea that you return man to nature, remove his clothing, throw him back into the rest of the elements, and what happens when man wants to build himself up properly, not to remove fake, superficial elements of humanity, but the core essence of being a human being, we remove him from nature. We clothe them, we provide them shelter. This is what the human is all about. As to the cat, the Gemara Baba Kama, the Tzadat and Vez, the Havamina, and these are about Tashis, to buy the clothing, but not the human body. The Gemara suggests over there that the Easter to harm himself to buy one's clothing, but not one's body. And the Gemara has two explanations. One is practical. Zem ala lucha, zem ala lucha. Tear your clothing, you have to throw them out, it's a monetary loss. If you scratch yourself, the body knows how to heal itself. This is a practical consideration. The one that continues also, that the Moroi you call the clothing, mani mechabedusa. My clothing is my dignity. In other words, clothing symbolizes human dignity. And as such, in Abbas al-Achal, if you made the clothing from Big Day Kahuna, is Nashi Big Demalayan, the kahuna is expressed through the clothing that Kohanim wear. Kvod Shabbat expressed up in the gazim, and so on and so forth. I want to elaborate on Shere Wenten at my uncle, my father did about this point of this use of clothing. And therefore, Kriya is exactly the clothing. You see a garment, because Kriya is the expression of the loss of human dignity, of man's unique place in nature. And therefore, Kriya, you tear back to your clothing. So to expose yourself once more, to show that beneath your clothing, man has been defeated. This is a part of Kriya. Now, let's read for a moment, move on to another area. And here, this is a bit more surprising. If you want, I began with the Shama, I spoke about Father Brios, I spoke about Avelus, I spoke about his clothing. Now I'd like to think of a common, speak of the actual human body. The Torah describes the Parsha of Chovel in two places. Read Parsha Mishpatim. What happens when a person strikes a fellow human being? There are all kinds of halachot regulating how you have to compensate the injured party for the damage you've done to him. So if a person strikes someone and can't go to work, you pay him for his loss of time, you pay him for medical expenses, and so on and so forth. We call halacha chovel. And for shmuli chovel, the five different forms of payment and compensation you have to give to a person who you've done bodily harm to. And the Torah places this mishpatim within the context of much broader discussion of the damages and injuries that one person inflicts upon another. A shor who injures my property, a bar that I fall into, a shomer who loses the object, and so on and so forth. Pasha mishpatim sets forth the law, includes torts, includes Birsan halachot, includes also assault and battery from a civil perspective. However, the term returns to the topic of chovel a second time. In a place, which is in a location, I should say, which is totally out of place with everything else. And this, of course, I mean the Pasha in the Emor, the Yikra parent of David. In the middle of a Yikra, it seems totally out of place. We began yesterday reading for a guy with our Korbanos, we next to our Korbanos, we deal with Tumah Betara, we deal with Hashanah Kippurim, we deal with Kedusha Kohanim, we deal with Kedusha Mo'adas instead of Yikra, we will deal with Kedusha of Israel. And in the midst of all of this, the Torah tells us what halachot regulate once more when one person strikes another, assault and battery are located in by Yikra. In addition, the Torah seems to plunge into them from a starting point which makes no sense, or which has nothing to do with monetary damage. The Torah records in Vayikra the story of Megadeth, the only, or almost one of the only episodes where starting instance recorded by Yikra. We have another video and we have Megadeth. Megadeth blasted against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Moshe Rabbeinu was guided and didn't know what to do with him. And then the pasuk says, "Kvo shem yumat." This is blasphemy against Kadosh Baruch Hu. He put to death, and then it goes on to a whole parsha discussing murder and discussing assault, chovel. This seems to be quite strange. The fact that the gadgets in the Yikra is self evident. We deal with kedusha. We deal with the opposite: with desecration of kedusha, with the chilat kedusha. However, to go from there to once more to civil laws of Baba Kama, to return to second Zik and the Rambam, seems out of place in Vayikra. Of course, everything said until now, we've got the conclusion that these two questions kept themselves out. The Torah plays with the Chovel by Yikra, that's this reason. From one perspective is the monetary drama going on, not the Mishpatim. You talk about a show with the human being, you can talk about a shor falls into a bar, you can talk about a car crashing into another car, you talk about a collision between two cars, human beings, two donkeys, you can talk about a person striking another person, and the person not able to go to work, loss of income, etc. However, you can also talk about striking a human being and striking a criminal king within him. And the news the Gemara limits it to Israel, because Soter Roshan Israel, whoever slaps the Jew in the face, Ki'ilu Soter Roshan Shina. Because this Kaviyachal, he has slapped his Baruch himself in the face. And the reason, once more, is the same reason. That by striking at a human being's face, you are strength of divine energy within him, the presentation of the human being of its level key. And this, of course, is why I praise him by Yitra. Megade is out of the night of Kedusha, the Kedush Baruch Hu, the Chil HaKodesh, the Chil Shem Shomayim, he's desecrating his name, the same is true of a murderer, because he's desecrating the son of a human being, and the same is true of a Chovel, I swear. First he strikes somebody else, he too is engaged in blasphemy. Not blasphemy of the name, blasphemy of the image. And therefore, Chovel, prison by Yitra, I swear. In the side, I would mention that the Torah also mentioned at the end of the Pasha of Nefesh Behema, which either disproved my theory, as one of my colleagues just told me, or he stood as a contest, or it seems to me personally that the Torah here is hinting that Nefesh Behema is probably more valid than to associate with it. It's pointed out by the Torah at times indeed emphasizes that Nefesh Behema is a value as well, and therefore, of course, we have a carbon. Had Nefesh Behema been meaningless, it could not serve as a substitute for a carbon. Nefesh Behema could serve as a substitute for a carbon only because it has some value. But anyway, my question today is not with the animal dignity, but with human dignity. And this takes me from the Psuki, the Sukkot in Baba Kama. I will not go into detailed analysis here of the various proofs and counterproofs, whether the payment or compensation that the Gemara forces persons to pay in Baba Kama is mammon or knas. Is it monetary in nature, or is it non-monetary in nature? Is it out to compensate the person who lost his income or not? I'll just say the following. Try to give a brief synopsis of what's going on in this video. The Gemara offers various sources to tell us that monetary compensation is at hand and not physical punishment for he who strikes somebody else. The Gemara itself, in opening line, the eighth paragraph of Baba Kama, deliberates whether you compare to Maka Behema or to each checker from Nevesh Adam. If the proper payment of rent is murder, and once more the desecration of the son of a king, or is it the proper context of a monetary image? A. B. The Gemara itself states, to the conclusion of the Dachon Sugya, that is one opinion that's a kofer, a ransom, or a way to absolve oneself by payment, and the Gemara therefore states unequivocally that according to the Ezer, you pay not what he lost, but a penalty which is correlated to the value of the person who, of the mazi, the person who does the actual damage. And the Rambam writer then argued later on, actually the Pirim Machlokit, what is the nature of Teshuvim Chovah? What is the nature of these payments? One opinion is all knas. This is my knowledge of the Yashas' opinion. He has said that Shavuos. It was none are monetary. They are at the moment what's called a penalty. The Rambam differentiates between different kinds. The Rambam talks about ripui and sheves, with medical expenses and the loss of income being monetary compensation for lost income, while the other three are a penalty. And in the Pesukim, it fits it very nicely. The Ripui and Sheves appear in different pasuk than the other two, and the fifth and the other third pasuk. The writer talks about all three being monetary in nature. Now, many Achronim latched on to this point and pointed out that the payment, when a person pays for hurting somebody else or causing physical damage to a fellow human being, it's not monetary, but the Rambam is a starting point for this whole idea. And one can find in Reb Chaim, and one can find a long extended discussion in Reb Guzman, the Tal Sefer. I'll read here, now, Reb Chaim talks about in Hilchos point de Nitan, is it knash or mammon? Is it a penalty, or is it monetary in nature? He does elaborate, if it's a penalty, what should it be? Which is much of a kofer, which is the clause that comes to defining it. I'll quote here from Revelco, this is the most explicit formulation I found in the Tiachon, I looked at it, I'm sure many others would discuss this as well. שאין עיקר חיוב או כלל משום הפסר גרד רמונה, מדלת פי גרד לבוס, אני מרקר גמש, ורק בגרס הקוסם הוא, בתור הדפריט, הדבין דקרי, לשלם לפי שווי הנזק, לפי קורלי, to the amount of damage caused, but not because of the loss incurred. Who can question the culture? A form of bounty rinse from the person's head to absolve himself. Nowhere have I found anyone discusses in terms of a penalty influence. If it's a knas, why is it a knas? You can talk about the violence inflicted on a fellow human being, some type of behavior. If it's kofed, once we talk about a need to get absolution for what I did. What did I do? That's a chron, the best of my knowledge, I'll discuss this. In light of what we've mentioned until now, I'd still like to suggest that it may, we could, of course, talk about a penalty for the violence the person did. We may have talked about comfort kapara for the violence to the divine image and live gospel to some human being. In other words, we do not necessarily have to focus the comfort upon the chavero. Dr. Kovic, then Rav Lamacha. I don't have much proof either way, but I'll mention in a moment the relevant sources, whether it's Kovic, Rav Lachavera, Rav Lamacha. But the moment we recognize that Kovic has not the Rav Lamacha in it, it's only conceivable to talk about the Kovic as relating not only to the Rav Lachavera involved, but also Rav Lamacha. It's maybe Machlokes, in the Gemara, the Mishnah, toward the end of the Temple of Kama, the Mishnah discusses there whether a person is the value of somebody else, how much this person, how much you have to pay. In other words, if I embarrass and humiliate someone in public, how much you have to pay. And the Mishnah has a machlokas, whether you pay by each individual case, in other words, to a more dignified person, you pay a greater sum, to a person whose dignity is lesser, who's less care about dignity, you pay a smaller amount, and it's a function also, the person who is doing the humiliation, how much is his dignity counting now? The Kibbutz says, that is not the yardstick, rather, you pay a uniform price, why? The Kibbutz states over there, with the mission of Tzadik Mudalev, everything goes to the particular case, individuals involved. Or Akiva, Afilu Anushim Yisrael, Inotam Kinen B'nei Chorish Yudim Nisehem, even the most impoverished person you treat in a kingly fashion in terms of how much you have to pay him. Why did Shehem B'nei Avinus of the Yaakov? They're all sons of Avinus of the Yaakov. He could interprets, of course, as some kind of inherent intrinsic dignity which a person can never lose individually. Of course, it seems to me more likely in the sense that we're creating here that you're talking not about his dignity as a human being, that person can indeed lose in Tanakama's life, that goes to Chvodo, but rather the key is talking about the brios within him, the human dignity as a human being. And that can never be lost, and therefore, no matter how careless a person is about his own covenant, his own dignity, we do care because he's a human being. My impression that Rishon does not necessarily agree with this approach, but it seems to me at least to explain with Kiva very nicely. Now, until now I've spoken about the payment. However, the point to argue regarding the payment, and I admit that it proves here some lacking, if we talk about the Isur, if I move from the payment to the actual prohibition to do it, here I think we're much firmer ground. The Gemara states, and here we have to discuss, I think, basically two proofs. Number one is, the Gemara Masechta Tehillim of Tehei states that if a person strikes somebody else who is not Shomer Torah Mitzvos, who's amazing, the person is delinquent in his observance, he does not follow the proper lifestyle, or the first phrase, Eino Ose Masa Amcha. He's removed himself from Am Yisrael because he has shirked his duties as a Jew. If you then strike him, you're a potter. If the person is not violating the law, if you strike a Jew who is enos matanik, you're slain, makshin akol klal. You create between the Easter cursing the Jew and then striking the Jew. Now, why should the level of observance be relevant to the Easter to strike somebody else? Since it's self-evident, this has nothing to do with Rebbe Lachaveyo. Rebbe Lachaveyo, the person who's always serving, it's not Matthew's mama. There's no hesed to go and be magic somebody just because he's not observant. And certainly, there's certainly no hesed to, and certainly, from my perspective, there's certainly no hesed to go and not pay someone just because you don't know any also matzah ancha. And certainly no claim to put up with tashlumin because they don't also matzah ancha. However, therefore, by that individual, Reuven Shimon Levi, seems to me not to make much sense to say that you're popular just because you ain't also matzah ancha. However, we talk about the fellow king, the person presents the divine form within and encapsulate the fellow king in his being, if his, if his behavior, his lifestyle, his personality is offline in the face of this, so then we cannot see him as representing, unfortunately, the fellow king, and therefore the Easter disappears. It's by strengthening the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the person must be considered presented to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And if we see his lifestyle as being non-representative, so the Easter of Hakah, if this is striking somebody else, changes. I agree that it's, even this is not that I would say on my own, undoubtedly, the mission obviously I quoted to begin with, should assume the basic thermal human, every human being, regardless of his lifestyle. However, the particular Easter of Hakah, the mercy of the thing, it depends on lifestyle as well. That's my focus. And he who disagrees, either may deny that there's lots of fellow king based upon lifestyle, or may focus the law and the prohibition upon Rebbe Lachaveyo, within the personal element and not the divine element. However, he who absolves a person in the Easter, if he strikes someone who's Eno Samantha Amcha, clearly seems to me to assume that the terminal king was a really Easter. The second halacha in this context is the root of the law, the source of the law. It's not possible to remind the Ramban, Sefer Mitzvos, whether the law, the prohibition of Makar v'Imo, striking his parents, is the same law as striking somebody else. In other words, is the prohibition of striking at a fellow Jew the same as one's parents, or not? Now, obviously, if we talk about Rebbe Lachaveyo, the relationship between a child and a parent and a stranger is a positive relationship. It's some very, very, very broad definition we find some common denominator. But nevertheless, essentially, deep down, we're talking about two separate phenomena. Here we're talking about gratitude to parents, talking about the fact that parents are shooting for the Kodesh Baruch Hu into creating a person. Here we're talking about the interpersonal relationships. Common denominator, if we're talking about between me and him or me and them, it would be very weak if we discuss Rebbe Lachaveyo. However, if we discuss Tzadik Elokim, this comes down to seems to be much greater. Parents obviously represent the Tzadik Elokim towards human beings who cash for dami for the makom, kabbis mecha, kiuda ben shivu present the idea that's covered not only towards the parents, but also towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu, towards their property to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore, if you look at some common denominator between the lab of Makir Chaveiro and Makir Ibrimo, the common denominator seems to me to be not of the interpersonal relationship, but of the relationship because Baruch has manifested in parents, in human beings, etc. Once more, this is Machlokes from Rambam and Ramban, and I would suggest that this may be a community issue. In point number three is the issue of a person to inflict damage upon himself. Once more, if we're talking about interpersonal relationships, there really should be no problem. Nevertheless, Rama Paskins, following the Gemara in Gemara, that a person who puts damage upon himself is always alive. Now the Rama states unequivocally that a person who puts damage upon himself violates the Easter of Chovah. Also, laughing, the Atzim in the Chaver, etc. Now, once more, if we're talking about interpersonal relations, it becomes much more, much more problematic. Observing is the weirdest problem. He develops a whole theory in Or HaLacha that you don't own your body, therefore, since you don't own your body, so you cannot permit yourself to such a damage of property. It's not your property, the property belongs to his brother. It's a pikadon, it's a deposit, give like that property to man, and therefore it doesn't assume that there's a lot. And what's more, my suggestion may dovetail with this, may fit in, may be independent. It seems to me that the root of the law is once more the seminal king. The payment may very well be monetary. Or maybe a penalty for the violence towards other people in the interpersonal level. The prohibition, though, is directed first and foremost to the Elohim based upon the parasha and emor. And therefore, even if the body is mine, or if it's not mine, even if it's because it's the Elohim I'm damaging, the root of the matter is not ownership, it's rather the Elohim. It may very well be that since my body contains the Elohim, therefore it's only deposit. It may be that I own it, but nevertheless, I am representing the feminine king. And this is the root of the Easter. The root of the Easter of a person to inflict damage upon himself is the feminine king within him. And therefore, even though he allows himself to suffer the pain and to absorb the damage, it's irrelevant because it's Bruce Buchanan, which is at work over here. Now, just to conclude this chapter, I'd like to add the following remarks, and I have lots of other suggestions there, just food for thought. A, there may be a difference between Boshes and the other four. It was a whole page, as I mentioned before, five different payments. One of those is Boshes, in other words, penalty and humiliation. The reason I say this is A, the Machlokes I mentioned before regarding Rebbe Akiva and Chachamim. B, we might discuss the case of Bisha, Yashin, and Ames. And the vice someone's unaware that they've been humiliated. But the Gemara seems to take it from a different direction. At any rate, in light of this afternoon's discussion, I think you should consider that case as well. It was humiliated, someone's unaware of humiliation, whether you're a chayv or not. Secondly, in the Torah itself, Nezer, Tzar, Shevis, and Rebbe Alpha Mishpachim, Bosh appears in Kitaitse. And the fact that the location outside of Mishpatim may also be indicative of the fact that it's a totally different nature than the other four. Suggestion number one, suggestion number two, it is possible in the context of systematic treatment of the Eifer Kovakama to suggest a difference between Chovah and Makia, in other words, actually wounding the person and only inflicting pain, striking without any wounds. A and B, between Rosh HaEvarim and other parts of the body. The Gemara talks about certain parts of the body which are more important, Rosh HaEvarim, the more important parts, the organs, so to speak, but not organs that we know, which is organs, rather the manifestations of human dignity, the Rosh HaEvarim, as opposed to the other parts. And one may certainly suggest Rosh HaEvarim deal more with this kind of issue while playing Nezek, striking someone or wounding him, not Rosh HaEvarim, may be a different issue. Now, it's very clear from our state until now that the discussion should naturally be extended to the Easter of Makkah Ovi V'Imo, the Kal Ovi V'Imo, and of course, Kiddush HaEvarim. I will not do that. There's another speaker on the agenda today, like you all know, brothers, so I will not enter this whole area, but of course, Makkah Ovi V'Imo, the Kal Ovi V'Imo, the natural next step. Dealing with this, I will just mention that by Makkah Ovi V'Imo as well, we discussed the situation of Osa Masa Amcha. So the Chofetz Chaim tells us where the person's chayav is kibud ava'im for parents, because they know it's the master amcha. And what's more, if the more we treat it as just playing the personal relationship and gratitude, also not something should be relevant, while the more we treat the Tzvei Melukim, and the fact that Yigash Tzvodim is called Hamakom, so obviously also not something becomes much more important character. Now, let's conclude with two final lessons. One I will also just mention. Having stated everything we said until now, you must obviously turn to Baal Tashmis. And in this, I'm following only the footsteps of the Gemara Makama. The Gemara Makama concludes Perek HaChovel, but the Perek that deals with physical damage to the being, the discussion of the Lav Baal Tashmis. Baal Tashmis, and I will not analyze this at the moment, we can see it as it's wanted and lost. But the same way you can talk about destroying divine image of human beings, in a larger sense, if we look a bit further up, the fact that the entire world is being God's handiwork, God's creation, and these are about passions of defacing the family nature, may also be not only just that I'm waiting resources that somebody else could use, but rather, just because Rachel's world, whoever is going about and harming nature, for no good reason, in a sense, is also defacing God's will. Whoever's interested should look up the studio there for the comments I got from the bears and take it from there. Secondly, man, I'd like to go back to the more specific sources which Chazal themselves raised for this. Here I sent you from two. At least two that I'm familiar with, aside from the Gemara by Chris and Nikki that I quoted Rashi before. What is the Gemara by Kavura? Or actually, not only the burial itself, but the Easter to leave a mace overnight, Baal Tala. And the Mishnah doesn't have to have from the Baal Tala, if you leave the body overnight for no good reason, you always need to Baal Tala, it's allowed in the Torah, and the Mishnah there, that the Baal Tala states as follows, the Imlan, the body is left overnight, over the local Aser, you are violating the prohibition of the Torah, Shememai lo tolim yigo tola et, don't leave his body lying on the tree, ki kavar ki kavar the mitzvah of kavura, ki kilulat elokim talui, divine curse on the speak is what, divine is not translated, it's a curse upon the divine man to leave it hanging, klomar, not one interpret, what does this mean, nemagat talui, why was he hung? Because he blasphemed. It was a desecration of Rabbi's name. And the mission sounds just like some kind of causal chain. That people, like, since the halakha that you only hang someone's over there with a zara or is blasphemed, so people ask, what's he doing on the tree? Why is he set up there to be viewed by all? And then we have a story how he was over there with a zara of Megade. And then when people find out, then it's not going to spread the news. However, the Gemara then takes it to a different Gemara that then quotes Raisa, which is probably the emphasis to this. Tanya, Omer Meir, Meir is to say, Mashru Mashal, Magna Domer, what is analogous to? The Shneachim Tolim, the two twins in one city. If you had one twin, the other twin is also humiliated, the other twin also suffers. And Rashi simply explains, what does this mean? Vishnei Tomi, one of course is the human being who is being hung, his corpse is hanging, the other one is the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Rashi says over here, Vishnei Tomi, Af Adam Asui Vidyukadosh Makom, man who is created in God's image. In other words, the same who is duped from Oit Kata, he appears in Sahedrin, one to counsel of Venus, the other to counsel of Kavura. And me and God described as twins. And therefore, any humiliation, degradation of the human body is to the twin as well. The twin here becomes broken. And I conclude the presentation with the following Gemara, which I could have stated at the opening, maybe not to do this out of presentation. I want to set a shot at the film of days. The Tanya Rochet Adam Pana Yadavarab Bakalyam Bishvil Kamal person bathes himself every day, he treats his body properly, Bishvil Kamal, and the formation of Gemara, unlike that of Sefta, is to glorify the Kodesh Baruch, Bishvil Kamal, Shemayamar, called Paul Hashem Maneh. All that God creates is great glory, and Rashi says over here, Mechabed Koneh, to respect and to think about the Kodesh Baruch, and Dichtiv, as the Pasuk says, Ki Betzelem Elokim Asat Ha'adam. The O, in addition, Harunev, Yom Ha'o, to Mer Bruch Shachar Balam. So first and foremost, Rashi states, it is the Tzelem Elokim at work. I said before, it began with the Sham Ha'avelus, but here we talk about the physical body by Cholvel, and here too, the simple act of taking a shower is seen as maintenance of the Tzelem Elokim, called Paul Hashem Maneh, Kodesh Baruch Hu created everything for His glory, the Tzelem Elokim has added up to Rashi. In addition, it's also God's praise that He makes this nice creation. But essentially, it's much more than that. Called Paul Hashem includes our bodies, our physical bodies, Ki Betzelem Elokim Asat Ha'adam. And if we're Chovel, He faces the body, He violates the Tzelem Elokim. First, everything treats proper respect to His body, treats it properly, He gives it its due, His Mechabit Kodesh Baruch Hu. This is actually cool. I just allow myself a minute and a half regarding the event at hand. I stated towards the end, Kibbutz Avayim has elements also of Torah Makom. And therefore, I allow myself the allowance of not saying almost anything about the event at hand. Plus, it's initially Kvod Melachim Chakor Devar, Kvod Elokim Aser Devar. We, the word of dignity, is to do PR. However, Kvod Elokim is a Aser Devar. The intimacy, the meaningfulness of the relationship, at times are best preserved by Aser Devar. And I'm sorry, my feelings are towards both my parents, both as individuals, both as expressions of Kukash Kudam Mikhoda Makom Asesh, that I feel I would best report myself by remaining Kvod Elokim Aser Devar, Kvodam Sfara Makom, but I would be Aser Devar, and I hope I'm not disappointing anybody, but the intimacy is too important for me, too precious for me to violate. And therefore, Kvod Elokim Aser Devar, I'd just like to thank both my parents, my father in particular, for the focus of today's event, and on other occasions, this I'll conclude, and I'll just say they're both paradigmatic for me of the whole topic I discussed today.